If I were to ask you to complete the following statement, how would you fill in the gap? Christmas starts with, and then blank. I wonder what you normally consider is the thing that starts your Christmas. Perhaps for you, it could be tinsel, lights, decorations, the kind of things that you might see in the high street, in shops all around, in the bank when you visit, that goes up earlier and earlier this year. I don't know whether you've noticed, but if that's the thing that starts your Christmas season must be getting longer and longer as these things happen earlier. Of course, that's the purpose. These are put up by people in the retail industry who want you to come and spend. And so they want you to come and spend more earlier. And these days it goes up after bonfire night, certainly after Halloween, and they're in the shops through the whole of December. Well, these days, that gets even more confusing when you recognise that you can get hold of Christmas things literally year-round, 365 days in a year. You won't be surprised at all that there are websites on the internet where you can find the Christmas shop, which will answer all your needs, provide for all of your requirements right the way through the year. That probably doesn't surprise you. What might surprise you is the number of physical shops that are now appearing, which do exactly the same thing all year round. And in some of the most traditional of places, like this one in the Cotswolds, the heart of the English countryside. And in the middle of the summer, you could go into the Christmas shop and get whatever you want for your Christmas tree. Not sure why you'd want to, but you could. And it's not the only one. Here, Stratford-upon-Avon, the home of Shakespeare, even in a traditional building, the Christmas shop, all year round. And actually, it's not just in these unusual places because tourists go there. It's spreading all around the country, from Edinburgh. I think it was Scunthorpe, the top one, I can't remember. And then Glasgow. And they're all over the place. It's possible it's going to be something in our area in the near future because people think they can make money out of it. So if that's the thing that you gauge to bring your Christmas, you might end up in a little bit of trouble. But it's not the only thing, of course. On holiday recently, in the springtime, we went to Bruges and discovered this Christmas shop. It's phenomenal, the things that they have. Anything you can imagine for your Christmas tree. And that was in the heart of Bruges, an ancient city in Belgium. And then I have to confess, there's this little chap. You probably struggle to see it if you're sitting at the back, so I'll tell you, it's a dolphin. Not quite sure where that fits into the Christmas story, but it's a little flappy dolphin. His tail flaps around. He's covered in all the appropriate clothing you'd expect at Christmas. This was bought for us in Florida, in August, when the temperature was 40 degrees. Such is the issue if you use decorations, lights, to be your guide for starting Christmas. Well, perhaps thinking about weather, there are other things that you might think begin Christmas. Some of those sort of decorations, but perhaps covered with a bit of snow. A bit of ice, the frost that makes it feel Christmassy. Maybe that's you. If it is this year, my goodness, you must have been a bit confused. What is going on with our weather? Absolutely the opposite of what you'd expect. And perhaps that's not the thing that starts Christmas for you. Perhaps it's the party season. For some, of course, the party season is everything. It's about dressing up, having fun, and looking cute, at least at the start of the evening. In fact, there are so many things that people could put in that little space. Christmas starts with. For you, it might be that Christmas tree. The moment that you bring the Christmas tree down out of the attic, or if, like us, sometimes you go to the garden centre and you buy yourself a real tree. The excitement of trying to get it in the car at the same time as you. The prickles sticking in your ear, obscuring your vision as you're trying to get back home again. That could be the start. Or when the TV times comes, and now you know what the entertainment's going to be for the rest of the next holiday season period. Perhaps it's when the first Christmas card arrives on the mat. Maybe it's when you finally get to stop work, put your feet up and relax. Maybe Christmas starts for you when the food changes in the shops and people start dealing with Christmas pudding. It does look good, doesn't it? Or when you hear the first carol singers singing as beautifully as you've been singing tonight. All things that people could legitimately say were the things that for them are what Christmas starts with. Well, you won't be surprised to hear me say that tonight I'm going to suggest there's one more really clear answer that you can fill that statement with. And it comes through a whole series of clues. And the first clue, well, frankly, it's in the name. Christmas starts with Christ. Christmas, Christ, Mass. The celebration of Mass, the celebration of when Christ came to this earth. That's what we're about. And that, of course, is the start of Christmas, the coming of Jesus, a child born 2,000 years ago as a response to God answering the needs of his people. And many in the world would try to leave God out of the celebrations. They'd literally try to put an X through Christ and turn it into Xmas. What a tragedy. But the clue is in the name, Christmas. You can't celebrate an X and nothing. And then there's the second clue. The second clue comes from our first reading. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. A reading. Why is a reading so significant? You might think, surely that's just the headline. That's the headline of something that's just been announced. This is what's taken place. As though the reporter from the Bethlehem Gazette's just turned up because he heard of some bizarre goings on in a stable just on the outskirts of town. But it isn't. It's not a headline of what's just happened. It's the prophet writing hundreds of years before these events ever take place. Long before the innkeeper had an inn to keep. Long before the donkeys had anywhere to stable themselves in. Long before the wise men had gained their wisdom. And long before they'd purchased their gifts. For unto us a child is born. I wonder whether you noticed when you came in earlier on tonight, did you notice there was a poster on the left-hand side in front of the door? That poster had just two words in it. The two words were, a promise. The second clue comes in this promise of what God was going to do. The reading's a promise from God. It's been an amazing week for promises. I've been looking for promises to give as an illustration tonight. It has been an amazing week. Started, perhaps just before the week, with the government. The government had promised to make an announcement on whether Heathrow Airport would expand or not. And the promise has been delayed. And then there was the promise that came about the flood warnings. And the people in Cumbria who were told that the floods that happened just recently, well, they were just a once-in-a-lifetime event. But people in Cumbria could say, as good as your flood warnings are, as good as those levees are that you've built, we've had five such events in just the last few years. And then sport. Jose Mourinho, he's been in the news, hasn't he? Jose Mourinho made a promise. He's the manager of Chelsea Football Club, and when he came back this time, he promised, this time things will be different. What happened to him on Thursday? 7 months after he'd just won the league, he was fired. So much for promises. And then, of course, one of the biggest news items this week, more than 200 nations gathering together for the climate change talks. Those nations making huge promises. But did you notice carefully what they promised? They promised to try to keep carbon dioxide levels down so that the temperature stays below the 2-degree level above pre-industrial levels that they think is going to be catastrophic. They're going to try to keep the levels down. As good as our wishes are. Does it sound a bit woolly? But few people are sounding a bit woolly tonight. But doesn't it sound like the kind of promises that we often make? I wonder whether you've made any promises leading up to Christmas. Have you made promises about the amount of food you're going to eat? About the amount of money you're going to spend? Have you made promises about some of those things? You're going to send your Christmas cards earlier this year than you normally do. How did you get on with your promises? Don't ask me about mine. And if you've not got a card yet, really don't ask. And then, of course, we're about to reach the new year. And we will make our promises again. Exactly the same thing. We will say things about not eating too much food, about having exercise, having balance in our life, so we've got time to write our Christmas cards. From past experience, how well do you think we'll get on with those promises? The thing that makes this different, Christmas starts with Christ because God's promises are not like that. For unto us a child is born. And God promised that hundreds of years before those events took place. And on that first Christmas, God made good on his promise. That's the difference between our promises and God's. But of course, Christmas is only Christmas because that baby that was born was not just another child. He was the Christ. The Messiah. Just before those words that you see on the screen, the prophet wrote some other words. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. It means God with us. That's the promise that he was fulfilling. Jesus wasn't just this cute star of the very first nativity scene. He was the promised Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the one that God sent as his rescue plan for an entire world who turned their backs on him. So Christmas starts with Christ because of a promise fulfilled in Jesus. Which brings me to the third clue. And the third clue comes from the dramatic events that we have been reading about. And again, this week, as if to help me do this talk tonight, there have been some truly amazing, dramatic comings and goings this week. I'm thinking about what took place in Russia. Did you see Tim Peake taking off, blasting off in that Russian rocket on his way to the International Space Center? He's going to be away for 6 months. 6 months. One of the amazing facts that I heard about it was that in his first half day of traveling, he traveled 240,000 miles in half a day. And he's going to be away for 6 months, going around the world. I'll bet he's only wishing that the European Space Agency had some kind of air miles system that he could get his... My goodness, that family would be catered for life, wouldn't they? That was a dramatic event. But what was amazing to me as I watched those images on the screen was observing the family event that surrounded it. Just looking at his family around him, excited, this heartwarming family scene. It was wonderful. And then the beaming smile on Tim's face as he said goodbye to his son, the excitement of the whole thing. His son couldn't contain himself, jumping up and down with joy. It seems almost impossible to imagine anything that you could see that was more heartwarming as a family dramatic scene of celebration. Yet isn't that exactly what we've been singing about in all of the carols? And then some. Father and son, but God and his son, coming down from heaven to this earth. What a picture. And then there was Mary, the unmarried virgin mother. In her day, an insignificant teenager, probably ostracized because of her circumstances, yet chosen by God. And there was Joseph, not some highly trained astronaut who'd been preparing for this for his whole life, but a humble carpenter who was tasked with the job of dealing with this stuff. The shepherds, outcasts in their particular culture. There's a reason why they were living out on the hills with the sheep. But they were given a personal invitation. And then the exotic visitors from the east bearing gifts. That was a dramatic scene. And then, of course, in the background, there was a villain, the king. The king who saw his throne threatened, who wanted to kill the newborn babe. If these are not even more dramatic scenes, I really don't know what is. That's what we've been singing about. And not just dramatic, but mind-blowing, eternal events. And it's these events themselves that testify that Christmas starts with Christ. That undoubtedly crying, hungry baby, we know how you're feeling, undoubtedly crying, but also the Christ. The Christ, literally the start of Christmas. Which brings me to what we conclude from all of this in the final clue. And the fourth clue comes in the sound of Christmas. The sound of Christmas. A sound that speaks of what this really means for you and for me. What do I mean by the sound of Christmas? Well, it needs a musician to be able to explain this. And as you know, I'm a highly skilled musician. Okay, a skilled musician? Musician? No, you're right, I'm not a musician at all. I couldn't whistle a tune to save my life. But we do need someone to explain it. So listen to this for the sound of Christmas.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, Years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
The best news in the world is that Jesus has come. The Lord has come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Christmas starts with Christ. And even the sound of Christmas is one of the clues that tells it. And the significance to us is that it is a message of joy. And it's a message of joy because in all the brokenness of this world that each one of us knows all about, and that includes all the circumstances and the challenges that you might be faced with this Christmas, it means that God gave his Son so that in those situations you could know his love and discover his peace. Christmas starts with Christ. I have no doubt that for you, as for me, Christmas has got a million events, so much to keep us busy and occupied. I just want to give you an encouragement. Give space this Christmas for the pauses so that you can hear the sound of Christmas and the voice of God and know his peace this Christmas. Let's sing that beautiful carol together. Again, if you'd like to stretch your legs as we sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come."